Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I'm Marshall. That's Nick. You can find us at hypercleanstore.com or the Hyperclean Specialist Group on Facebook. Nick, we got a great episode. I'm excited as we get into it. So let's do some buy and sell. Go ahead, your honors.
All right. Well, I was going to buy the fact that Marty had a ceramic coat of car that got washed like 10 minutes later at a car wash, but I got a text yesterday, and it was a cool text. My buddy Timothy, I know you listen to all these. He's a guy that I met at a training years ago. I was at a windshield film training. He was there, owns a shop in Colorado, and sold his shop. And the guy basically couldn't pay what he owed him on this shop, so he had to repo the shop back. So he sends me a text that I think you and I have been on and off talking about, basically trying to sum up the detailing business for about 3+ years now. Would you agree? And with one text, he had me rolling yesterday. Said, long story short, we had to repo the shop from the guy that was supposed to buy it. He was an entrepretender, making videos and being cool behind a desk using SEO companies to not get business. You can use that on your podcast. That was the text. And what I'm buying is, first of all, entrepretender, all-time line. Secondly, I'm buying that he went from one of our distributors and bought some products yesterday. So that's why I was talking to him. So, and he's helped us out on some other projects, you and I. But what I'm buying, guys, is we tell you all the time about creating relationships with good people, right? This is a guy I simply met at a couple day training. We've stayed in contact. He runs great business. He's a smart guy. The value of that is something we can't overstate on this podcast. That's why I'm buying it. Because there's a lot of you that have gone to trainings, and there have been 10 people at the trainings, and somebody there is of value somewhere. And then you go, well, I went to the training, and these 10 guys were there, and I go, oh, you still talk to them? Nope. Hey, I went to this event. There was 50 people there. Who'd you connect with on a business thing? Well, no one. It's seemingly one of the things that you and I know is that I was in Tulsa last week. We had a lot of vendors inside, coming in, a lot of raw material suppliers coming in to talk to us. And we left there creating better relationships after last week, right? And so when you talk about this game of business and life, this thing about relationships is not BS. And if you don't have a host of them after doing all the, like, should we be able to have good vendor relationships after they leave last week? In some instances, we had some pretty harsh conversations. We were dealing with some pretty big mistakes that somebody had made. He's coming back the next day to come see us. It's like a 4-hour drive for him. He's like, hey guys, how you doing? Because guess what? We were open. We were honest with him. We created more of a relationship. You've done a fantastic job of that with this particular vendor. But it's not BS, guys, and I think it's something that anytime we can share it, and plus he came up with the word of the day, entrepretender, which was, I was just dying. And Timothy, thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks for that cool word, because I'm definitely going to be stealing that, as I told you on text message yesterday.
Give him credit the first time, but after that, it's yours.
After that, it's mine. I'll be like, yeah, I made that up. Yeah, I know.
I'm selling also.
I'm buying.
Oh, you were buying. Well, I sold. Yeah. I'm selling the Eclipse. I'm selling. Dude, I thought it was hilarious. So that was great. Dustin and other people, did videos to get the, people would think about Eclipse. They might see their shop or something, right? I think it's great. I'm selling, right? It's so funny. You met our wonderful, eccentric, delightful UPS driver. He's an interesting cat that has a unique perspectives, apparently
to say the least.
We're gonna be like Nineveh, and suddenly there's this now triangle of stuff, and then we have 30 days to repent. I don't know. It's always great to see what people come up with. I just can't imagine what it would have been like at a point in time where there wasn't, you know, record of knowing actually what the eclipse was. I mean, I'm sure there would be some wild theories when, you know, I don't know what it was like there. In Chile, I saw videos. It was cool. Went completely dark. Here, you know, we grabbed our sunglasses. We got to see it. The temperatures got a little bit cooler, and it was neat. Overall, I'm selling, though, right? Let's get to the point. I'm selling because, you know, we had one back in the 80s, around the time that I went colorblind. You know, I looked at the eclipse then. Apparently, it did. They said, hey, just next time it comes around, look again, and it'll go back. But
wow. I got to tell you something. I saw some wild stuff in Tulsa, but if that's what you believed, I got a bunch of real estate to sell you guys over there. It's not hereditary. It's the eclipse, dog. Yeah. Let me tell you what I found interesting about the eclipse. Kids get school off because they're worried about kids looking into the eclipse. I mean, come on. If your kid is staying home today, and I got two kids, if your kid's staying home today, I mean, there's some things I can't say on here because people would get real offended if they're in those positions. But come on, man. Now we're just making up reasons for people not to teach, for kids not to go to school. By the way, I think we had an eclipse when I was in school. They handed us the glasses, and we all went outside and looked at it, and everybody was fine. But you know, it is what it is. I don't know what happened here. I totally forgot about it. So
we had festivities and everything.
Yeah. Big weekend in Tulsa. I was told in my hotel, lock up your guns, big weekend in Tulsa. I don't know exactly what was going on. I should share that in the group, but I mean, Marty, let's talk about it. A crazy week in Tulsa. You bring me in. We got tornado warnings within 24 hours of me being there. We got customers taking ceramic coated cars directly to the car wash because they didn't understand it was tree sap. Then questioned if we did something. We saw a car that like needed three panels repainted. We had a lot going on over there. Hey, we had a battery die on a Porsche. Tulsa was wild. Yeah, guy was there. And then, you know, this is always uncomfortable. If you own a shop or you're a mobile guy or, you know, just somebody that works on friends' cars because you're a prosumer and you just help them out. Is there anything more uncomfortable than the guy seeing the dead battery and then being in your shop, like in the shop area, like watching over you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get
his stuff out, get it the right way. Then jump it at the same. It's just like.
Marty doesn't have a jump box. So we had to pull the Jeep in and get it close. And this guy was all nervous, dude. What a week.
Mm-hmm. Fun times. But overall, come on, it would say that we did a little bit better job on the vehicles this time. You mentioned at the end of the week, you're like, yeah, not as bad. Like, it is long and hard. It's a long, hard week. But, yeah, you know, the vehicles last time were pretty nasty, right? Like, this time, they were at least a little better.
Yeah, I think here's what people are going to see about this content that we did is that it was more in line with our belief system, mm-hmm. right? We had a lot of cars that were in good shape. We're kept in good shape, and we kind of explain our theory of, I'm tired of the disaster talk. I'm tired. I mean, we got to do better, right? You and I have been saying that for 3 years. It's like, we need to teach customers and those of you that listen to us that aren't professionals that maybe are just trying to do things on a higher level. Keeping your car clean on the exterior is one thing, but keeping it clean on the interior is something that just doesn't get talked about. So we did have a couple examples of just high quality individuals keeping their car in a high quality way, right? Yeah. So I think it more represented what you and I believe is let's stop letting the PB&J sit in the back seat for 6 weeks and let's just not have the PB&J sit there. Let's just maybe toss it in the trash.
You know, especially we talk about that episode with Mildren recently about the $5.08 billion industry, you know, the way to be a part of that is maintenance. It's not the every once a year get a disaster detail. No, it's seeing these people every week, every other week, keeping these people's cars maintained and cleaned on a regular basis. It's interesting about people wanting the dirty ones. Well, clean the dirty ones. Well, you know, that's not exactly the best business model, right? Like
it's not the best way to experience a car. Right?
Yeah, there you go. And that's why.
I mean, it's okay to say, hey, we've kind of built an industry on restoration of interiors. We're going to bring them back. You've done a lot of high volume work. I started out my world of detailing doing auction cars. Some things can't be brought back. A lot of things can't be brought back. Okay. We can make them better. But how about if they just don't get screwed up in the first place? And I thought that was interesting about last week is that we had a lot of owners that took pride in their car, right? They didn't necessarily, they weren't do-it-yourselfers, but they were willing to pay the bill and say, hey, take care of my car. And they're doing that regularly. If you're somebody getting yourself into not only the business, but taking care of your car, which we have more and more people that are trying to get educated about DIY, hey, that family car doesn't have to get out of control. It doesn't. That doesn't mean your kids aren't going to drop some crumbles and, you know, some Cheez-Its and some goldfish and stuff. I mean, stuff happens. But if I vacuum that out and I, you know, we shared some tips on how to have a family vehicle that didn't get out of control. A lot of it is the choices you make with what do you allow in the car, right? Your kids can still eat snacks and enjoy their time. But maybe the PB&J needs to be in the kitchen and you just have some crackers and stuff in the car. You know, you just have some prepackaged stuff that isn't super hard for them to deal with. And you don't have drinks that can be spilled. You buy water bottles and things like that that are spill-proof. And it was awesome. I mean, last week, like you said, it fit more of our belief system. And so when people see our content, it's going to be coming out over the coming months. Understand, for the most part, those were a lot of cars that embody what we believe as guys that have been doing this a long time, is that there is a better way to experience a car.
Yeah, and the funny joke, though, you're right about, you know, put a ceramic coating on, see some dots, and run it through the car wash. Like, at the same time, that same person also believed that they had been cleaning their car on the interior by using wet wipes.
Oh, right? This is great.
You know, it's interesting. And both of these people lived in the exact same square mile, right? One of the wealthiest parts of town in South Tulsa, right? The good place to be. But yeah. Both with very interesting perspectives on, you know, how they are maintaining or how they're caring for their vehicle. You know, I think that's where some of that begins to play out. Other things I thought to be what's very interesting from the week was you actually admitted, I think we even have some proof of it. There was a mango IPA where you go, hey, you know, this isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But we did find, I think, one of the next beers that I think we'll both go ahead and hang our hat on and be like, yeah,
yes, sir.
It's going to be in the beer fridge for quite a while. And that is 8 Elite Light Lager.
Winner. It's just a flat-out winner. Like, yeah. Just a flat-out winner. Troy Aikman's beer. I find it odd. You and I read the can. This is how you know we're in chemicals, because we start to read where this thing's being bottled. And so it's got a weird thing on there that I'm sure they'll iron out at some point, maybe clean up the wording. But they basically have the Dallas Star inside of a Texas outline. And then it's bottled, I believe, and canned in Wisconsin, or something like that. So, look, great beer. I was thoroughly impressed. And, you know, if you had that and Ultra in your fridge, it'd be a nice lineup. There's a little bit of a flavor to the 8 that doesn't exist with an Ultra. Both super easy to drink. And I got to tell you, huge winner.
Yeah. Big winner. Another winner in a lot of the videos that we did was a lot of Stack, soon to be released, coming out very soon. We'll continue to tease that out here more and more as that gets to be a launch. What's interesting, you mentioned something you want to post out of Get Your Guns, you know, that that photo, there's actually kind of some get your guns little scarcity going on right now. A lot of theft. Interesting, huh? Like, we're used to seeing fraud with that. Hey, do you do ceramic coatings? I've got 15 cars. Do you take a credit card? Yeah. Right? We're used to that guy, but not used to seeing the detailer that then drops somebody off after the detail to go rob a car. That was crazy. And you're also seeing what? I guess there's people now that they've been supposed to be doing some marketing, but then just keeping some money or something. It's wild.
Yeah. So look, man, you know, the stolen car thing was news to us. Somebody posted a really great question in the specialist group about how to talk to this customer and reassure customers that you're not part of something like that. We also heard something of people taking marketing dollars from a very big detailing marketing company and supposed to be running ads and maybe hasn't touched the ad account for 6, 8, 9 months. Look, man, this stuff's always been around. You know, I've heard of theft rings that were mobile mechanics and they'd come out and they disable things on your car. They would fix your brakes because they were about to steal the car. So they wanted to be able to hawk it wherever they were going to take it. But this stuff happens. And the best way that I say is this is why we're big into, you know, dress presentable, you know, speak well. Speak directly to customers, and you're not going to be lumped in with those types of individuals, right? Because I'm guessing this was a very cheap service because they were out there just doing some recon on the car and whatever. We've also seen that TRXs are really easy to steal, so those end up at auctions all the time with totaled, you know, just stolen but in perfect condition. This has always been a part of it, right? You know, house cleaning, this has been a part of it. That's not going to go away. It's probably going to get more in the future, especially in certain cities and locales, you know, higher population areas. But there is this thing that everybody has to realize is that's the importance of you presenting things in a professional manner, because you won't be lumped in if you come across professional. Because I guarantee if this guy's being honest with himself, he went with a cheap company that came out there looking a certain way, dressing a certain way, handling themselves a certain way. And this is in no way taking a shot at that customer himself. But if you're a customer listening to this and you're looking to hire reputable companies, there are surefire ways to understand if somebody's reputable or not. And most of the time, it's how they speak, how they dress, how they handle themselves. And I think if everyone does that, you'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be. To me, it's just crazy to hear. You're right, though. There are those rings you hear every once in a while, like go through, and yeah, they're not fun to see. So I think it was Nicholas put that post out there. Hopefully,
yeah, it was an interesting post. Yeah,
yeah, it was, and hopefully he's all right and everything rolls on. I love seeing. I think also inside the group has been great to see. Listen, it was great to see. There might be mixed opinions inside of our group, but I thought it was great to see that you did take the blue pill, and we got to see you, you know, we call it shutter speed, but I think I put you in the matrix, and we could actually see your hand when you'd go to apply some stuff. It was like, like, and it was cool. Like, I think that was cool. Right along, I think it's cool, and people will see if they get it. If that video makes it to out of post edit and actually makes it to YouTube, I messed the shutter speed up, and it does look like Nick's actually in the matrix, like dodging bullets.
Yeah. And not the blue pill everybody's going to make a joke about. Okay. I didn't take that blue pill. I don't know why Marty just said that way, but let's just make that clear.
I love how you felt subconsciously about that.
I'm like, what's he talking about? Blue pill. I'm like,
those
come
of us
on, man.
That are moviegoers know the Matrix blue pill, but
gotcha. They could have chosen a different color, I would think, in the Matrix, but that's just me.
So, and I, yeah, who knows? Maybe they took the other one out. Maybe I put it. we'll have to go back to camera on that one.
Yeah.
But the amount of coatings that have been being applied, I love seeing that inside the group. And it goes all the way from, you know, Uno. We have multiple people throwing down Uno. I think there was a tray. Billy did this cool job on a tray. What was that? A GMC Love seeing that. Not a Blazer. What was that? GMC.
Was it a Jimmy?
Jimmy. There you go. I used to always get those mixed up. Listen, I saw one the other day, which was pretty cool. Still at a full serve. We talked about this recently. We had a tire problem and went the next morning to go get some tires worked on because we had some blowouts. And there was a full serve gas pump hooked up right there with the tire store. I was nice. Like, what? It had that ding ding bell at the same time, and they would roll over, and it was like, wow. But there was the Chevy version, the Blazer, and it caught my eye because I had a buddy that used to have one. But this was the GMC Jimmy. It looks sweet, right?
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, that's great. I mean, look, we have guys putting coating on semis. We have guys.
Yeah, it was Dose, right?
No, Sparta. I think he put Sparta on the one he did recently, Donald, I believe. And we have so many coatings going out the door here early in the season. The coating business is really strong in the hyperclean world. And we love seeing all those posts. And again, we have all kinds of guys posting interior shots of Revive and Impress and all these other different things. Like, things are off to a good start. You know, obviously, weather hasn't broken everywhere, but it looks like within the next couple of weeks, we're probably into weather really breaking. So if everybody's been waiting on doing their personal car or, you know, you got customers lined up, I think the next few weeks, we're going to see things really pop.
Yeah, you're right. It was Donald putting Sparta on that semi, and then he said he went to go get a fish fry after.
Yeah, like, awesome.
Yeah. So awesome. We didn't, there was Uno's out, there was Dose, there was other thing. Now, what we did though, we did a lot of stacking. We didn't do fish fry, but we did go eat some good fried chicken though.
Yeah.
Random place, Waldo's chicken and beer, and was like, wait, this turned out to be a surprisingly great place. Even had some good greens, which is rare to find.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, that place, and look, we kind of said this about multiple places in Tulsa. I think restaurants got to be worried. Mm-hmm. I think restaurants got to be worried. Something's going on. I don't know what it is.
There was nobody there.
I'm like, cool place, cool area, you know, should have definitely had people wall to wall. I don't know, man. I mean, prices, like you said, it wasn't cheap, you know, which is why it was good. But I'm guessing that place is struggling like a lot. You know, a lot of different places. We have some great restaurants that have opened by my house, and my family was there last week, and I go, is it busy? They're like, not really. And so you look at it and you go, is the price catching up with everybody? I'm not sure.
Something's catching up to them. Let's see. I saw a post that was one I'd love to see. Derek did, was it Revive on a what?
On you a Ferrari. What? Looked like a Testarossa. I didn't get the best look, but I think it was a Testarossa. I couldn't tell because he was just showing some minor shots of it. But look, that was the testing ground for Revive, you know, which is what I said on his post. Like, you know, that was when you get in a Ferrari, there's a Ferrari smell. And you don't want to take away from that Ferrari smell. And so the testing ground, if anybody ever wanted to know, of Revive, which you already knew, was Ferrari. When you get inside of a Ferrari, you want it to smell like Ferrari smell. You don't want air fresheners. You don't want overly harsh cleaners. You don't want any of those kinds of things. And to see Derek kind of reiterate that while working on even something that's an older Ferrari, they still have a distinct smell. And so that was awesome to me because that was literally the testing ground for how we formulated that product.
Early 90s?
Yeah, it could have been. I'm not sure exactly when it was.
I felt like it was somewhere.
It was in the 90s, yeah. I just don't know what year it was.
I'm also going to always raise a glass and go to community. Kind of love Arizona Bike Week, right? Pig Daddy out there. But then have another detailer inside the group come help him clean some bikes. Pig Daddy out there selling product and detailing bikes. Listen, you got to love seeing that. And this is ultimately the why, in a sense, you build a network, as we've talked about. You know, the reason why that you would have somebody come out and work together is so that now there's connection points. And so seeing him do that, I love seeing his growth and the way he continues to climb.
And he's just everywhere, I mean, that dude travels everywhere, which is awesome to see.
But not as okay. Now, as awesome, listen, I think the best so far, the best PLP to date has arrived. And listen, I love C-Tit Nick saying all the time, he's the guy that's putting a ton of these out there. But what about the one that says small PP?
Yeah, on the Corvette. Hey, that guy gets it, right? That's the reason for a PLP right there. That was hilarious. Look, Marty can vouch for my insanity with this because we had a situation and I was headed to Waldo's Chicken and Beer to meet Marty. And we had a sticker plate situation that literally I was still laughing about when I got there. I got honked at a light trying to get the picture. Not exactly the most politically correct thing to put in the group. So I won't be sharing it, but I love it, man. I mean, it's a fun thing to do when you're in the car. It's a fun joke to have. And, you know, like we say to so many people, if you like yours, man, it's just a joke. Okay. It's just fun. And if you have fun with it like that guy, that makes it fun. It's because this guy's like, hey, I went through all this trouble to get a personalized license plate. I'm really going to go full in and go small double P and have a lot of fun with it. And I think that's awesome.
It is awesome. You know, we say stuff that's not fun. Definitely smells are not fun. Not fun was the windshield that we were looking at. That was what on that FJ, and you know the customer didn't understand that the smell inside of his car, well, it couldn't just be counteracted, you know, miraculously by this hanging scented
so bad
paper, right? That actually causes some damage to your windshield that we'll have to replace. What's not fun also is smells inside of your water. Inside of your reclaim or your filter or whatever, right? We had somebody post in there, I think it was Isabel, about having some bad smells coming through. I've dealt with smells like this, but we used it, chlorine tablets, things like that is what I would use instead of ammonia. If you had to deal with anything, usually if you got a big tank, you just get your water and you pay for it, I think is what you guys do. It appears that she's using a filter that goes in line. You know, we had to do a lot of smell, bacteria smell is what it is that I would always fight when we would reclaim or reuse water or have filters like that. So we would use chlorine tablets. Have you had to deal with anything like that?
We have definitely run into when producers have something going on with their system. But here at the shop, I have a complete commercial deionized water system. What I would always tell people is, you know, these resins, and that's what she's using is a resin tank. We have, you know, really high quality resin tanks at HQ. It's just way better to pay a service. I see all these like DIY or what you would say light commercial type systems that get sold. When they work, they're great. When they don't work, you don't have anybody to lean on. And so the systems that I use are completely run by a water company here. So if I have an issue, they come out right here at the shop. I've never really found a way that I wanted to deal with it. If you have no choice, I understand, but I wouldn't even know where to start because these things kind of get wonky and then they're just wonky. Like they're just permanently like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that one of those things you think that I know that they make sense to use, but might not really make sense once you really talk about it. And let me go back to what I was saying when I used chlorines. This was at the car wash because we had these massive tanks that we had to reclaim the water out of. And so we found I would literally bi-weekly go take pantyhose and drop chlorine tablets down into the tank. And then we'd have to hang them and stuff like that. Like we did all kinds of things trying to combat this. So no, I mean, yeah, if using a service that will have the water for you would be the best way, or the renting of the tanks, Culligan's one, that would be the way to go. I think they're a national
brand. I think mine here at my shop, I think cost me like $100 a month, but I get so many gallons through that. They just come out and swap them out. And they handle everything. And if something goes wrong with the system, which we've had a minor thing here and there, they're really high quality, right? There's really high quality resin. And so you get a law of diminishing returns. I feel for anybody dealing with those that has to deal with those, right? May be the only choice in your area. But it's just one of those things that I think that whole resin system's really tough, right? And it's why a lot of people aren't in that business anymore, right? Because that resin business, you know, one thing gets off, your water starts to smell, you're not getting what you want, then they got to come out and they got it. So it's a lot of times what people don't realize, it's like two guys in a truck that look like pretty rough individuals. And those are like the water experts in certain areas around the country. Like, trust me, and they're the best ones. And you're like, whoa, these guys look kind of rough, but it's like, this is what they know. That's all they do. It's sort of like a good pool guy, not the cleanest cut individual, but really great at pool, you know, installing pool equipment and stuff like that. It's just kind of one of those things. And yeah, there's a lot of these DI systems that are trying to bridge the gap from the DIY to the light commercial. I think that's a hard thing to get right because you move a lot of water through those things. And when you start moving a lot of water, you start to have real problems usually with those smaller systems.
Well, you know, it's not fun to use something that would then go turn bad, right? Like the guy that he didn't know any better. He puts a little dangly thing on his rearview mirror, tries to make it smell better, but doesn't realize, like you've talked about, what he's actually smelling. We're now not even sure what carcinogens that we might be inhaling.
Yeah,
from the different poisons that people are saying go into the fumes of something like that, but also what was happening to his windshield. And he talks to the wrong person or she talks to the wrong person. Any of these people talk to the wrong person, they could continue to go down this wrong trail. This was what continues to be more and more, I think, mind blowing. I just constantly think of that emoji with popping up his brain, the things that we're seeing. You sent me a YouTube video of some people cleaning a $20 million McLaren and they go, yeah, well, you're supposed to polish before you wash. And the guy even says in the middle, he goes, wait, we're supposed to polish and then wash? They go, yeah, but before you polish, you know, you might have metal shavings on the paint. So you need to use this quick detailer to wipe it off. And then you'll polish because you don't want to have this dust get into the cracks of the car. So then you wash the car afterwards.
Yeah, right? you can't take the extra 20 minutes and wash it before. That would be too much work on a $20 million car. Yeah, that was, I mean, I sent it to you and a couple people and I'm like, you have to watch this. You have to watch, because again, they're going to get, this video is probably going to get, in the lifespan of that video, 5 million views. I mean, probably. It's a $20 million McLaren. It's a rare car. They're talking about detailing. The long tail on that YouTube video is probably going to be 5 million views. So you got 5 million people. Of those people, less than 10% probably actually know what should happen. So 90% of about 5 million people are just going to be miseducated. Plain and simple. I mean, it's not even close to what should happen. That isn't even how we did it when we didn't even know better 25 years ago.
You still wash.
I mean, you still washed it. I mean, matter of fact, you washed the car more back then because of wool pads and compound dust and things like that than we have to do now. So there were several cars that I worked on in my career, and I bet you're the same, where I washed it for prep, compounded it, washed it, then did a couple steps of, you know, polish and jeweling polish, washed it again. I mean, there were times that you could have washed a car three or four times if you did enough steps. That's pretty rare now because of the technology. But even if you were to say these guys are old school, that's not how we did it in the old school. It's just a complete made up way of doing it. I mean, it's, and anybody that says you can take metal shavings out of the paint by using a detail spray, I mean, a lot of us that know what we're talking about laugh, but 5 million people. I mean, I think it was over a million pretty quickly. So if you look at the life of that video, it's going to be a 5 million view video. And you kind of look around and you go, you know, there's a lot of people that think that the professional market is the reason for so much miseducation out there. You can't battle 5 million people on a single video. And then you go to another video and there's 100,000 views on this one that's not very high quality. And then you go to this one, it's got 300,000 and a million. And this video over here is another 2 million. You start putting all this together, man, you can't lay everything at the feet of the professional market. I mean, some of this stuff is out of our control. Things that people have been told when they signed in the F&I office at a dealership, how many millions of people a year get miseducated about a million things with their car in the F&I office at a million dealerships around the world. It's not always the professional market, man.
No, it's crazy to see the compound effect, right? The multiplication that goes on of misinformation. I'm so glad you bring that up about the dealerships. And that's right. I mean, we think of the videos, but think of the finance products that get put out with what? A Carfax, right? So we had this fun discussion while you were here. And, you know, the both parties inside of that couple that own that vehicle, both of them asked me, so you really did think it was wrecked? Well, they didn't put it on the Carfax.
So, well, look, we had a wrecked vehicle. We actually did an inspection, and we're going to put this out. So how to inspect a used car. So you and I are going around. We don't see a bunch of obvious, you know, we don't see repaint for what, 90% of the car. We get all the way to the back of the car and I'm like, these alignments are off. These something's wrong on this back bumper. Then you kind of pick up on some texture issues on what part of it. You know, I'm like, oh, this has been repainted. And we were specifically in the video saying the most damage you're going to see in a lot of cars is front end damage from rear ending somebody and getting rear ended from the back on the back of the car. So we finally get to the back of the car and we're like, oh yeah, this thing's been hit. Then we notice when we get to the other side of the car that there's like some major and poorly done dent removal. So actually this car had not only been probably through one thing, had been probably involved in a couple things. They bought the car and the Carfax said nothing. Nothing happened. This car's in perfect working order. Well, we could see by the bumper alignment on the back, hey, these gaps are off. Something took place. Then we started analyzing the paint. It's like, yeah, something's off here. This has definitely been either spot repaired or they put another bumper on here or something happened. And then when you relay this stuff, the shock you hear in somebody's voice, doesn't matter who it is, they're like, well, it wasn't on the Carfax. You know, the average person's never been told Carfax is a completely voluntary system. We've had totaled vehicles that were never even on the Carfax that I've been a part of. And I share that in the video. And we got to understand that there's a lot of things that people assume because of bad information from somewhere. Now, we can blame a family member, but a lot of times it's that professional dealership. A lot of times it's a detailer that misrepresents a ceramic coating or what it is. A lot of times it's something they watched on YouTube. A lot of times it's something they saw on Instagram, TikTok. You know, we can't control all of that. And so consumers really get in the crosshairs when they don't have a trusted team to deal in the car market. Period, point blank, end of story.
Yeah, and it's wild. It seems to be rampant now between, listen, we'll get into a detailer with some comments, but I sent you a video. There's some people that sent a video to me. It's wild to then see people that supposedly detailed and now they train people want to put a water-based product and say, put this on hours after applying a ceramic coating and it will harden, make it stronger. Okay, let's just moment there of water-based product on a ceramic coating is going to make it stronger. And they doesn't stop there. He goes, how much do you think? How much time stronger? 100 times? Yeah. Then 200? Yep. 300 times stronger. So the dude's done some really good lab tests, or he's gone and used a lot of money to get something to prove 300. You could put this water-based spray down on a ceramic coating and it gets 300 times stronger. What?
Like, yeah, I mean, you think they would just do that in a war zone? Just spray this on a tank, it'd be indestructible. I mean, look, man, it was said, you sent it to us, you said it to a couple guys in a group chat. Ceramic coated vehicle, an hour later, put a water-based spray on it, and it's 300 times, 400 times stronger. I don't know any ceramic coating company advocating putting a water-based product directly on a freshly coated vehicle for obvious reasons. Most of us say, hey, do your best to keep it dry for as long as you can. Let it cure up. Let it set up. Even if that's an hour or 3 hours or 6 hours or, you know, 2 weeks, you know, do the best you can.
So we've got this detailer that is saying that, you know, ceramic coatings are on the decline. Now, I'm guessing he means maybe what he sees in his area or, you know, what people are paying, because I know we'll get into the actual discussion of it.
Or people complaining in a Facebook group.
Maybe so. I just want to know, I just think at the first, I read this and I go, huh, why? Would it be because you've got this guy that's supposed to be, and that's, you know, we've used this quote-unquote industry and industry leader, right, in that whole world. He's telling people that you can put a water-based spray to create a 300 times stronger product than the ceramic coating. Is it misinformation like that that is really degrading ceramic coating industry? I had people years ago, I would put out, hey, listen, you better do what you can now because car washes are going to get involved. And they told me back in 2018, they said, hey, you know, don't say things like that. You're going to be a part of what degrades the industry. You're bringing the industry down. You're bringing ceramic coatings down. I just, even then I went, man, I don't think that's how it works. I think
using the word ceramic coating for everything has hurt more than anything, right? You go to O'Reilly's, everything says ceramic coating. Everything says ceramic, everything's ceramic, ceramic coating this, ceramic coating that, things in a plastic bottle, water-based, ceramic coating, ceramic coating, ceramic coating. That is inevitable. You couldn't have stopped that. I think there's a deeper conversation we're going to have about, you know, what was actually said in a post that was completely, I mean, one of the craziest ceramic coating posts I've ever seen. But look, man, you know, life's about educating yourself. And if you're going to believe that you can spray something on and it's going to magically last 5 years, I can't help you. If that doesn't add up in your brain, that if you go through a car wash and they sprinkle some stuff on your car, that isn't exactly the most elite level thing. It may be something, you know, could be a spray sealant. I mean, okay. That has its place. I can't help you. Right. And these things have degraded the word ceramic, but again, you go in our group, man, people are killing it with ceramic coatings. We have people becoming millionaires in a year's time, flipping their business to our stuff and stories that we have. The ceramic coating business is very healthy, but you have to understand what you're looking at, and you have to understand where we've come in a short, you know, 14, 15 year period to really get a perspective on what's going on. And look, you know, I think we should probably get into the post that we want to talk about today, because, you know, misinforming people about the collapse in ceramic coating. There is no collapse in ceramic coating. Ceramic coating is probably as known and as paid for today than ever before. And it'll be more paid for 5 years from now. You know, I mean, it is what it is. The more that people know about it, the more that people are going to pay for it, and they're going to want it, and there's going to be a good amount of people that want the real thing. So I don't see any of this stuff. I mean, this stuff all plays a part in people being misinformed. But again, this is why you and I have advocated certain associations just spend their money educating people on social media. We weren't listened to. That's a fact. Spend the money on social media marketing to explain to people what detailing is, what a ceramic coating is. Pretty easily combatible, right? Like, you can combat this. We've made the choice not to.
So, well, inside the post, he says, you know, he believes there's a virtual collapse, and it's because that manufacturers and coating companies aren't vetting. And that's the problem. The collapse, the way he sees it, that there is this collapse in ceramic coating, happens because of improper vetting. I want to, for a second, I know you said, and you're right, those inside the specialist group and those that listen and then do, they're having a lot of success. We do have to acknowledge, though, there is a rule. There is a law here. There is a supply and demand, right? Like, there is where some people are having struggle. There is some people that used to achieve a certain value that they can't get that anymore, and they stayed in this direction, and they continue to go that way. And so there are, Nick, there are people that are beginning to feel there's a decline, that there's a decline in the market. And I'm not going to say that for them, they're saying that it's the fault of vetting. I'm going, hey, man, there's just an overall decline in market in general. I'm not going to blame any certain person more than I'm just going to go, listen, there is a law of supply and demand here. And while people are keeping their cars longer, that doesn't mean they're re-upping on a four-stage correction and multi-layer $4,000 price tag.
I remember the first big screen TV I bought. It was like 2003. It took like 10 of us to get it in my house. I mean, literally, you remember those things. Today, I can have an 80-inch that me and your stepson can put up in your house in 3 minutes. Shit changes. I don't know why everybody has a problem with that. Because let me take everybody back to a reality. Go back to 2010, 2012, 2014, when everybody was getting really, really high dollar amounts for ceramic coating. All you mobile guys, you couldn't have done ceramic coating, right? The only reason I was able to skate that was because I have clients that have 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 square foot spaces that are heated and cooled, but you couldn't do it mobile. You couldn't do it in a driveway. You couldn't do it in a hot garage. You were there, Marty. You remember some of this stuff. Yeah, people had to be vetted back then because, as I've shared on here before, we had $1 million worth of damaged cars because of improperly coated vehicles. Just at in my hands, I know other shops that received another $1 to $2 million from the same place. The idea that we want to go back to that is idiocy. It's somebody not knowing what they're talking about. Okay, even if they were there, they're misremembering that. There was a real reason to pay people high dollar amount for ceramic coating because most people couldn't get it on the car competently. So you would eliminate 99% of the market for ceramic coatings if you went back to those times, because I'm telling you, most people couldn't get it on the car. I witnessed it myself. They just physically couldn't get it on the car. I'm not saying everybody, but a very large percentage struggled with it. And then we advanced. And when you advance, things become a little bit more cost effective and more attainable by more people. So do I want one $4,000 ticket a month, or do I want 100 people calling me for ceramic coating at $1,000, $1,500 a month? Well, just do the math. I got way more money to make by it getting easier to apply, being able to do one steps very competently. Because of why? Because compounds got better, pads got better, machines got better, polishes got better, right? So, a word that I've been really talking internally at our company, especially with you, is perspective. Perspective takes, perspective takes getting educated, talking to people, talking to knowledgeable people, not a salesman, and there's nothing wrong with salesmen, but talking to an owner of a ceramic coating company. A lot of these guys have my cell phone number. They could ask these questions. Magically, they never do. Then I talk to other owners. I'm like, have you heard from so-and-so? No, I haven't. Did you see the post? Yeah. Did you talk to him? No. Another five guys. No, no, no. So it's not a perspective. It's an opinion. And opinions, for most of us, are not worth very much. without perspective. Okay, does this guy or this gal really know what they're talking about? And the answer for most people, and the answer to a lot of the problems we have in business especially, but I'd say in most of our personal lives and friends and family and everyone else, you know, sometimes it's okay not to say anything. It's okay to just keep your mouth shut because you don't know what you're talking about. Now, Marty, I shared this story with you. I got a couple buddies in the major leagues. One's already signed a $300+ million deal. The other one's about to sign a $200 million deal. Good dudes. They come over to my place all the time when they're in town. We have some beers. Life's great. Can you imagine me looking at these guys and go, you know what? You could hit the ball a little better if you just widened your stance. You know, made this little change. Now, many of you listening would be like, why would they listen to you? Exactly right. Why would they listen to me? My opinion means very little in their world. These guys are about to be wealthy from being great baseball players. And I don't have the perspective of what it's like to get to the major leagues. They do. So my opinion's not that valuable. And for somebody, a lot of people in business, they haven't understood this rule that I wish somebody would have told me years ago. When you don't know what you're talking about, the best thing to do is just not talk. Go gather some information. Go talk to individuals. Go talk to companies, guys that own the companies, and ask them why they do things, and ask them why they don't do this. Because then I guarantee you this post doesn't go up. But the problem is it did. And there's a lot of people that make comments, and a lot of people that think this post makes sense. And to anybody that has a perspective that goes back 5 minutes knows it's not a post worth reading or engaging in, and I'd probably disqualify the individual from listening to them about the ceramic coating business.
Well, I find you know, you mentioned that word perspective, and the perspective that he has, I'm sure there's plenty of people that go find that post and they'll begin to go lean on one side or the other, right? Plenty of other people feel the same as he does. This is why back in 2018, I said, when I would talk to these people and be like, listen, because there's going to be, it's the next big wave of protection for our industry, every part of the industry is going to come into effect, which we then later had people trying to change it into graphene or into all these other fiends. And we're wanting now even to rob that to get the next fiend, right? Like, yeah, what's the next thing on top of this thing? And coatings have been such a crazy thing for us. I always have found it interesting that people thought that they could control it. Like ceramic coatings were made for detailers. And we said that, and I still believe it. It was better, anything that we could ever do, and still is. So it is awesome that we get to use it. We feel like it's ours though. And Oh, how dare somebody change the pricing, or how dare they not change the pricing? How dare they, he goes in this post is telling that manufacturers should have map pricing and dictate to people that they should charge X amount. And it goes back to just basic business 101 that you and I have talked about.
Same guys that were bitching about the company that set the cars on fire that did tell people what to charge, right? Same individuals, right? There's a company that did that, correct, Marty? Everybody hated them, including this guy. Everybody hated them. They're trash. They're this, they're that. So again, it's about perspective. If you weren't there, you didn't know everybody hated that company that tried to do that, right? They don't know that company was hated for trying to do that. And so that company even had to back off and go, okay, we're just trying to do business with good people, right? Good, honest guys that can run a shop, guys that can run their business. Look, man, matte pricing works on tools because if you're lucky, a couple hundred places in the United States carry that tool. We do more than 1,000 people a month. They do 200 a year. How are you going to have matte pricing? Now you start to think about how many ceramic coating bottles are getting sold a month across the United States and the world. Compare that to some tools, So let me give people a view on this. Marty, you and I talked about this, and you kind of walked me through and got me to clean this up. When I go to Home Depot, I go to the tool section. I'm lucky if I see five brands, right? Makita, Milwaukee, DeWalt. Those are, you know, Husky at, you know, whatever, whoever carries Lowe's or whoever, right? You got a couple. I go over to this aisle of chemicals. I'm going to see like 800 brands. One is more commodity-based, and the other one's a more controlled environment, because guess what? Very few people can build a tool and get it out in mass around the world. And by the way, those companies don't make a ton on those tools. You know what they want to sell a lot of? Those cleaners. I know people that have brought Milwaukee into their store. They make 10% margin. So they charge the customer 90% of the cost is in what it costs for them to buy the tool. So if we want to really talk about MAP pricing, we can talk about it. How many of you guys would be thrilled if I said, I'm going to charge you $2,200 for a $2,500 package? So to buy my ceramic coating, you got to pay me $2,200. You'd be like, what? Well, that's MAP pricing in the tool business. They get to make 10%. They get to make 15%, 20%, maybe if they're a big buyer. Now this whole argument is crumbling on itself. Why? Because there's no perspective. How many tool people did he talk to? None. Especially those that sell it. You know how many people I know in the tool business are like, dude, I make nothing on tools. I hate carrying them, but I got to carry them. How many times you heard that, Marty?
Mm-hmm.
You've dealt with a lot of these people. What do you hear that about? Once a week, five times a week, 10 times a week? Wish I didn't have to carry tools. Wish I didn't have to carry tools. It is what it is, man. The ceramic coating business, if you're doing it right, is so freaking healthy. It's not going down. It's going up.
Absolutely.
If you aren't going up with the business, you've made a decision to work with a company you shouldn't be working with. You have ideas you shouldn't have. This is no longer an opinion. I'd rather have 100 people at $1,500 than one person at $4,000. And that's the road we're on. I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but if this guy had seen what's going on in the PPF business right now, he would pass out at his computer typing it. We had people in California that just 3 years ago were charging $2,500 for a full front. Now full fronts are going for $999 in California. That guy would pass out if he wrote a post about that, because that's collapse. That's collapse. Most people struggled to get $2,500 for five-year ceramic coating with paint correction, even at the height of all this. Most of those guys are getting $1,500 to $1,800 for those packages now. And there's a lot less cost than a PPF full front.
Do you think MAP gives a guide and is a great thing? Or do you think MAP is more restrictive and doesn't allow people the opportunity to, you know, spread their wings, figure out some things? That to me has always been kind of the interesting part about MAP. A lot of detailers go into groups and go, hey, how much should I charge? There seems to be always a thing around, hey, MAP pricing, this is the way it should be. Always felt that as a little curious, like a little odd.
Well, let's talk about this. This is an awesome conversation. Most of the people that talk this way would love to be, you know, we need to run our business just like they run the mechanic shops. Same guys. The alternator on a Toyota costs them the same. They all have a different hourly shop rate. So should Toyota go, hey, if you're going to work on a Toyota and change an alternator, you need to charge this on our alternator change. You don't advocate for that, right? I go to the dealership, I pay a price. I go to this shop down the street, I pay a price. I go to that guy down the street, I pay a different price. All buying the same Toyota alternator. Why don't you advocate for MAP pricing for them? Because it sounds good. It's like socialism. Socialism sounds awesome in theory. And that's what we're advocating for here, socialism. control the price, control the production. That's called socialism. How many people around the world are signing up for that? None of us with a brain, because it's killed like 100 million people or whatever globally. It sounds good, though. Hey, Marty, whatever you need, I got, I'll share with you. That sounds good. It doesn't work. It's perspective. But again, I'm going to say it this way. Everybody thought the pandemic was COVID-19. That isn't even close to the pandemic we've talked about on here. The pandemic is people talking about things they don't know about. They don't have a clue about, and they don't have a perspective about. And they didn't talk to any decision makers. They didn't talk to anybody who has their money on the line in this part of the business. That doesn't mean that I don't look back at some of the things that have happened with some coding companies I've dealt with and say, man, I wish they'd have done it a little differently. We all can say that. But I never blamed or got mad about what a coding company did. If they sold me a high-quality ceramic coating, I was good. If I buy PPF from a company and they do a really great job, I'm good. I'm good. Right? I'll sell my customer. I'll install it. I'll make sure things are fine. As long as they kept their end of the bargain and gave me something of quality. Now, do I think some guys have some gripes about these 10-year coatings, these lifetime coatings, these coating companies that the coating seems to always be underperforming, 7-year coating failing in 6 months? That's your gripe. There's a real gripe there. But there's not a gripe that somebody didn't, you know, vet somebody good enough. Or this imaginary process. And Marty, I'll say this to you, and you have to be much deeper down this road than I, because you've been at this longer. If everybody's doing it wrong, why don't you start a company? Seems like that'd be a hell of a way to fix everything. Put your money where your mouth is. If everybody's doing it wrong, McGuire's is doing it wrong. Adams is doing it wrong. Marty and Nick are doing it wrong. This company's, if everybody's doing it wrong and you're a business person, that's called an opportunity. That never happens.
What was that word that you said earlier in your buy and sell?
Entrepretender. Great word.
Great word, Nick. I'll answer your question by just reminding that entrepretender. What else is there? Right? Like, what else is there than to throw out bogus claims and to talk about how you can magically do this 300 times stronger? Like, it's just pretenders. Listen, they're getting likes, they're getting views, but are they what's really degrading a segment of the industry? For some people. Not our crew.
Yeah.
Our crew's climbing. Our crew's loving life. Our crew's selling. Our crew's throwing other stuff in the garbage and going, I'm in now. I'm all in and we're going. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say it another way. You know, there's a podcast. I'm going to be having a conversation with the individual on the podcast talking about how pro only coatings are a scam and, you know, they're trying to control the market and it's a stupid business model and this and that. And it's like, buddy, if I put Sparta in all of your customers' hands, and I put it in 1,000 people's hands that have hardly ever touched coding, you realize about 900 of those people would call you with screwed up cars. Nobody's doing that because they don't know what they're doing. There's companies that have IPO'd off ceramic coating. All those guys are dummies. So everyone's a dummy but you. And I say this, I know a lot about a very little in life. Like, very little. And that's the most of us. We don't have time to be great at a lot of things. I know a lot about a very few amount of things. The rest of it, I don't know anything. And so you don't go on my Facebook page and see me giving all of these opinions on something I'm not involved in. It is okay, like the Dave Chappelle thing that people cut up on social media. Or you can shut the F up. You're allowed. It's cool. If you don't know, you don't know. But you do damage people. And this is something Brian, who comes on these episodes, said. You do damage people when you give out bad information. 100%. So if 10,000 people see this post and 9,000 of them don't know what's going on, you've made them think something because they weren't there. They don't have the connections to talk to somebody. You've made them think this is a legitimate thing. But you have my phone number. You have a couple other people's phone number, I know for a fact. Why didn't you talk to them? Hey, man, I got this idea. Every single one of them that I talked to have been like, yeah, I'd have told that guy this is the craziest thing ever written. This isn't Marty and Nick picking on someone or picking on a post. This is something that amongst decision makers, actual decision makers, was like, this is nuts. Then this other podcast, they're like, this is nuts. You don't think I want to sell 10,000 bottles of Sparta today? But I have to take some responsibility. I have to protect people from themselves and not screw up their cars. There is some responsibility we have to take. Just like this. They don't willingly sell me every piece of electrical equipment to wire my house really easily. There's a lot of things that are pro only. You want to know why? I'm probably going to burn my house down. So guess what? They helped me out a little bit and said, we'll just let the pros handle this. We're not going to let you wire up that hot tub. Just call somebody. It's okay. It's okay. But you got to get a perspective on things. And I'm telling you, I've made so many mistakes in my life in business. You know what I wish somebody would have said to me 15 years ago? Dead serious. Don't talk about things you don't know about. Because everybody that does know is going to look at you and laugh and probably disqualify you from opportunity. Because you're talking about things you don't know about. That's what successful people remember. If you sit in a meeting and you're quiet the whole time, they're going to assume you were listening. But if you open your mouth and you talk about something you don't know, they're going to assume you're an idiot. Which one would you rather have? In my life, I have been the idiot. You have been the idiot. The world, we've all made mistakes. But it's okay to just be quiet. That's the pandemic. People talking about things they don't know about and also saying a water-based product makes your coating 300 times stronger. Yes, those things are negative. I mean, we could all just dance on a TikTok. I mean, we could do that, Marty. Okay. I made all this money, but I'm dancing for money on TikTok. I mean, we could do one or the other here.
We could. I think I'll just go have another beer.
Hey, that eight beer. Yeah.
It's a keeper. Hey. Everybody needs to go grab some.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know where it'll be. You think it'll be everywhere?
It's definitely here. Like, I know that.
We don't get Yingling out here. So, like, Yingling's a big thing in a lot of places. We don't get it out here.
Yeah, that's why you were grabbing cups of it while we were eating fried chicken. You were like, give me more Yingling.
Marty got to see. I can put them down pretty quick.
Yeah,
When things start flowing, I'm like, let's go ahead and have another one.
Mm. All right, man. Good episode, good times. And that, you know, those videos, they'll be out later on YouTube, but we do have them, the current ones that we had already recorded are being released every week. That is at Hyper Clean Store on YouTube. Nick, for everybody, and this was the line from this past week, which will be the line that we start to put out. Hey, if you want to support American Made Car Care, hypercleanstore.com. We'll see everybody next time. We'll see everybody there.
And the boys are back. The boys are back. We took a week off. Here we go. Good to see everybody. We'll talk to you next week.